Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game online at thegamenashville.com. Live today at Eagles Nest Tavern out here in Mount Juliet. Once again, come on out and register to win those pair of Lower Bowl Premium Center Ice tickets to see the Preds and Winnipeg, conference-leading Winnipeg, on December 19th. You can do that until 8 o'clock. So Willie Taggart is the new coach at Florida State, which means Oregon is now open. So Oregon's open, Arkansas's open. But it seems like a lot of those schools, for the most part, are going kind of for either different candidates than Tennessee or, quite frankly, bigger candidates than Tennessee. And I have almost disliked Floyd Reese, and I think you can agree with me. I've almost disliked every single thing about the Tennessee coaching search up until this point, correct?
Right.
I mean, I didn't love the idea of bringing in Schiano, but I was cool with it. But everything else I've totally disliked. The one thing I haven't, I think it's the best thing that has happened right now for Tennessee, is that they're not really all that interested in T. Martin. Now, I know it came out today that Fulmer had a conversation this morning with T. Martin, and that perhaps, you know, something could be done there, the former Tennessee quarterback, but if they're having second interviews with guys in person, Mel Tucker, the Georgia defensive coordinator, Kevin Steele, the Auburn defensive coordinator, if they're having second interviews in person with these people, and all they've done is just talk to T on the phone, they're not very interested in T.
Well, I mean, and they were obligated to talk to T one way or the other. And I don't want that to sound ugly or crass, but, I mean, he was an alum. He did win a national championship. He, all of those kinds of things.
I mean, Fulmer's entire legacy sits on T. Martin's
team.
Yeah,
and Fulmer coached him. And, you know, Peyton, he played with Peyton and on. So they needed to give him time. You know, sit down and talk to him on the phone, or have some kind of a community type call where everybody can talk and visit back and forth, and, you know, give him some kind of an interview and whatnot. For his sake, I wish they would have brought him in and really given him an interview, not necessarily to give him the job, but it'll help him with his next job.
And that's fine, but they're not interested. In my mind, they're not interested in T. Martin.
I don't think so either.
And I think, and this is the reason why I think it's the best thing that happened to UT. First of all, let's talk about experience. And I'm not here to say, well, he coached this many years at this place. T. Martin is, and this is going to sound ugly, but I don't mean it to be, I don't really think he's the offensive coordinator at USC. Like, in what we make of the title offensive coordinator. You know, offensive coordinator, we think of a guy who calls plays, you know, on first, second, and third down, and or all the downs, and formulates the game plan and does all of that. You really hear that Clay Helton, the head coach, is really involved in the offense on the preparation side of it. His brother calls the third down plays.
Son.
His son calls the third down plays, and so T calls him on first and second down. I feel like T's title of offensive coordinator is really only in relation to recruiting circles. Like, yeah, hey, I'm the offensive coordinator. So he's not totally experienced, I would think, from the outside looking in that regard. The other thing being, you bring this up all the time, when you are not a good team, and let's face facts, Tennessee's not good. Tennessee is 4-8 and 0-8 in the SEC right now. It's going to take a real, you know, dig your heels in to get it back. The easiest way to get better in football, you've always talked about this, is
run the ball and play defense.
How did the Titans get better overnight?
Yeah.
Run the ball, play defense. How does that, what does Alabama want to do? Alabama wants to run the ball and play defense.
Georgia.
What's T. Martin, an offensive coordinator from the West Coast who's a former quarterback with Sam Darnold, what's he going to want to do at UT?
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback's answer to everything is throw the ball. So, and I don't blame him. If I was a quarterback, I'd be the same way. But I think when you look at it from a team standpoint, that's not necessarily the best thing for the team. So, I mean, they need to, you know, it'd be hard to get him in here.
It doesn't add up to make T. Martin the coach.
Yeah.
And when Fulmer is not really – when Fulmer is not pursuing T. Martin, which he's not, and when Peyton is not pursuing T. Martin, which apparently he's not – that tells you they don't think he's the right guy for the job, either right now or maybe ever.
Well, yeah, I think they see him as not, you know, either too young, you know, too inexperienced, too not having you know, experience coaching and recruiting in the SEC instead of the West Coast. I mean, you can go through. There's a list of things that you could use as reasons why you don't want to hire him. And I imagine they're probably going through some of those.
And for the most part, I think Philip Fulmer's made it pretty clear based on who he's talking to what kind of coach he wants. And that is a defensive coach who will run the ball and play defense. And I'm totally with Fulmer in that. Now, Mel Tucker, you know, I'm looking at Mel Tucker like, Mel Tucker? Like, ugh. So I'm saying to myself, you know, okay, if you're Tennessee and you are at this point now where you've got a team and you're trying to come up with, you know, something this, that, running the ball, playing defense is the right way to go. I don't love the candidates that are in there, but I like the idea. It would be like the obligation to talk to T. Martin is very similar to if you owned a car dealership, Floyd Reese Motors, and I'm looking for a car, but all you have are like Porsches and Bentleys and Ferraris and Maseratis and honestly, I'm really looking to buy a Honda Civic. I might go to Floyd Reese Motors and test drive one of your cars just to make it feel like, hey, Floyd, you know, I love Floyd Reese Motors. I'm going to give it a try. Let's see how it goes with me in the sports car. But I'm not going to buy a car at Floyd Reese Motors because I don't need a car that you have. I need a Honda Civic. That is what I think Tennessee's doing by talking to T. Martin today and really not pursuing him to be the coach. For whatever reason it may be that T's coaching personality doesn't align with what Fulmer wants in the coach right now. It could be they don't like his experience level. It could be, and I'm not saying this is what it is. It could be that they just don't think he's great coaching material. You know, I remember when they were doing silly underdog picks the first week of the season. And, you know, I'm a Louisville fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And D. Mace picked Purdue to beat Louisville. And D. Mace said on Silly Underdog Picks, goes, Louisville's defense is terrible. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, you played with Peter Sermon, who's their defensive coordinator. You're saying their defense is terrible. And D. Mace didn't back off of that when they told him, hey, you know, Peter Sermon's the coordinator. And that I heard that and I thought, oh, no. Because usually what you want is when you play with someone, to go, oh, I knew he was going to be a coach from the day I met him. I knew he was going to be a great coach. He was going to be this, that. And here's Derek saying, oh, their defense is terrible. And he played with them. And that's my point kind of on this is maybe Fulmer and T, because they or Fulmer and Peyton, because they obviously know more about T than we do, maybe they think he's just not a good coach. Maybe they think, hey, you know, he's a good recruiter, but you know, he just doesn't get the game like we want the coach that we want to coach UT gets the game. It could be any number of those things. So I think this is the smartest thing Tennessee's done is that they're not really interested in just hiring T. Martin to hire him because he's a Vol. Because if Beverly Davenport were in charge of hiring the football coach,
oh,
she totally would because Twitter yes. says they need to hire T. Martin.
Yes, we would have it done, Bev.
T would be the coach. That's Dr. Davenport to you. T would be the coach. If Twitter got to pick, T would be the coach. If the former players got to pick, T would be the coach. But here's the former coach whose entire legacy is based on a team that T. Martin quarterbacked, and he really has no interest in the guy. That should tell you something.
Who does he look like?
Jimbo Fisher?
Yes.
Ben McAdoo.
I was going to say Nick.
Oh, you think he looks like Saban?
Yes.
Oh, wow, he's just got the hair slicked back like Ben McAdoo, but I'm glad you're paying attention to our conversation. Why? We'll take your call, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go. By the way, when you just say who does he look like and point, you know, the people that are driving in the car right now aren't necessarily going to know who.
I knew you'd clarify it.
Well, you know, at least I can bring something to the table. Tony is up next on Willie Taggart, 615-737-1025. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say that Taggart's record's really skewed because he took over Weston in their transition from FCS to FBS, and at the time they were in the middle of a 27-game losing streak. So, and then it took a ton to rebuild them, and then he got them to borderline top 25, and then that's what got him the South Florida job. So he has a ton of losses from that time, but he's obviously a very good coach from his ascendance to South Florida, then Oregon, and now Florida State in a pretty rapid progression. And then also I think Tennessee made a huge mistake on Schiano. They should have stuck by him. not too many people in the history of college football have won 11 games at Rutgers. That's one of the worst jobs in college football. The last guy before him to do it was in 1976. So it happens about once every 40 years. They also won 9 games twice there. They were in the Big East when I was in college, and I'm a Big East graduate of West Virginia. My senior year, we hung 80 points on them. That's 80. And now that they've not hired him and everybody said no to them, and T. Martin's got a lot of experience, by the way. He was up at UK. I don't know. I think Tennessee's probably too big of a first job for him, but, you know, he could go to a Conference USA school or something. But I think now they need to bring in Charlie Strong if he would take the job. Of course, he did great things at Louisville. He didn't get a very long time at Texas, but they were never behind him.
Tony, I'm in Tony, this is an incredible call. Thank you for the call. I agree with every point he made. Charlie Strong's, I don't think, going to want this job. I don't think Charlie Strong's going to take the job.
After all the hoopla?
Yes. I mean, first of all, he didn't take it last time, so he'd already come in with, you know, 2 strikes against him from the Tennessee fans. And then just, you know, things are going well at South Florida. You're recruiting where you like it. You know, Charlie is probably an American Athletic Conference coach. That's probably what he is. And so why risk that? You're going to get $2, $3 million a year or whatever he's making for the next 10 years guaranteed. Or you go to Tennessee, you get $4 million, and everyone drives you crazy. I think Tennessee fans are either they're okay with it or they're struggling to understand how undesirable this job is right now.
It's not sitting in a very good light. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that. I think it's, and we talked about this when they went through this whole process. It's not a scar that's going to last forever, but in the coaching world, it's a scar that's going to last for a little bit. You know, people are going to look at it a little bit funny, and they're going to say, "What really happened with that whole, you know, Shiano thing? What?" And as soon as that comes out, then they kind of go, well, "Really? That was the reason?" And I think then it you know is going to keep raising itself up. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's hard to how do you work past that? You know, why wouldn't you hire a guy like that? Well, did you see what the Twitter people were saying about him? And the guy, as soon as you say that to a coach who's worth his salt, he's going to say, thank you very much. Tonight talking to you. Got to go.
We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025. Once again, hanging out at Eagle Nest Tavern out here in Mount Juliet. Come on out, register to win those Preds tickets. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll go over the candidates again that Tennessee's looking at. And I got to ask a serious question. Could they do better? We'll get to that next. Plus your calls. It's Jared and the GM. We are live once again out at Eagle's Nest Tavern in Mount Juliet. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
No experience yet. I mean, experience as a head coach, obviously you know what that means. Now listen, there's also examples of going like Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Dabo Swinney. He wasn't a coordinator.
No.
He was a receivers coach hired on an in-room basis. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if he's got the energy and you sit down with him and you can feel it and it's tangible and you go, man, I love this energy, and you think that's the guy to go with. Philip Fulmer, he has a lot of experience there. He can help T. Martin if that's the way he wants to go. It's not the way I would go. I would go with experience, but if you feel like he's got that it factor, we've seen it been successful before.
That was David Pollack on College Game Day talking about coaches without experience. If you look at the college football playoff, Kirby Smart, before he took the Georgia job, had no experience as a head coach. Lincoln Riley was the offensive coordinator last year. 3 years ago, was the offensive coordinator at East Carolina. He's the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners. Dabo Swinney, no experience as a head coach before he got the Clemson job about a decade ago. And Nick Saban obviously has tons of it, and you're not going to get Nick Saban. So from a Tennessee standpoint in this, Floyd Reese, how much do you make of experience and necessary experience? The two candidates who look to be leading right now, Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator at Georgia, has never been a head coach in college football, although he has been an interim head coach in the NFL. Not sure how much that matters. Terry Robiskie was an interim coach in the NFL. I'm not sure we're looking to hire Terry Robiskie at Tennessee. But Mel Tucker is one of the leading candidates, going to get a second interview today. And Kevin Steele, who had 4 disastrous seasons at Baylor, is going to get a second interview today. and Les Miles, who has all the experience you could ask for, not even on the table. So how much does experience matter to you in that regard if you are Philip Fulmer and you are looking at this UT job?
Well, yeah, I mean, and people get, I think, get a misconception when we start talking about, you know, the Lincoln Rileys and the Nick Sabans, and the, because when you go through and name that list, there's about five, six, seven guys like that in the entire country. You know, out of the however many programs there are, we're talking about, you know, a handful of guys. How many others are taking jobs that aren't experienced that get blown out? How many others are guys that have taken jobs that have experience, like, say, Dan Mullen at Auburn right now? I mean, Florida. How does he feel? I mean, how do the Florida people feel about him? They feel pretty good. You know, would they feel the same if they hired a guy that had never been a head coach? I don't think so. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's different. The truth is, where Tennessee is right now, I mean, we've said this before. I mean, they're in it's a rock and a hard place. It is tough. You, if there's somebody out there that you think is the absolute best that you have ever been around, that, you know, on and on and on, then, you know, fine, take a shot with him. But, I mean, it's a long shot. You know, it's the chances of hitting on something like that are, you know, I don't know, 10%, 12%. Whereas if you have somebody that's experienced, that's been there, that's done it, that comes in, you know, your chances will jump to 50, 60% maybe. But the truth is, when you hire a coach, in spite of what everybody wants to think, the chances of you hitting a Nick Saban or a Lincoln Riley or is maybe, you know, maybe 0.5%.
Well, I'm just looking around at the SEC, and in the SEC, off the top of my head, the coaches that have the experience before, and this is where you need to, like, take records away. Sometimes I think everybody wants what Tom Herman did at Houston to be the coach that they hire to come in, but that's not really realistic. I mean, even Belichick had a losing record in Cleveland before he went to New England, and he's the greatest coach who ever lived. But in the SEC, Gus Malzahn at Auburn, Dan Mullen at Florida, Nick Saban at Alabama, Jimbo Fisher at A&M, Will Muschamp at South Carolina, and Ed Orgeron at LSU all had previous head coaching experience before getting their jobs. I'd argue in the case of Muschamp and Ed Orgeron, it looks like the fact that they got that previous experience is really helping them in try number two.
Right.
The fact that they've had it. What I don't think Tennessee can afford because of the state that their program is in is to have a guy, because I went over the coaches that didn't have it. Derek Mason at Vandy did not have experience. His first year and a half to 2 years was a total disaster where he would even admit he was learning on the job of how to be a head coach. I don't think Tennessee's program can handle that right now.
No. Well, what's going to happen is, and I mean, you and I both know, if Derek was coaching at Florida or, you know, one of these other places, I mean, like you said, yeah, he would have made 8 games and, you know, probably would have been
over.
Oh,
they'd have run Derek Mason so far out of there.
It'd have been tough.
I mean, and look, Derek Mason, I feel how I feel about Derek Mason. I think he's a great guy. But Mark Stoops at Kentucky, I covered Kentucky when Mark Stoops took the job. Now, that roster was so bad. Freddie Maggart, the former Kentucky quarterback, said that he inherited a 1AA team, that roster was so bad. But they still went 2-10. His first year as coach. Are you okay if you hire Mel Tucker at Georgia and you go 2-10 next year? Because your roster, I think, it's not in Kentucky shape, but it's not in great shape from what I've been told. Barry Odom at Missouri, this is his second year as coach. It took to about midway through this year before Missouri looked like they had a clue in terms of playing football. I don't think Tennessee can do that. Now, that's where a guy like Kevin Steele, I think, even though his record was disastrous at Baylor, it at least makes a little bit more sense because Kevin Steele could be like Muschamp or Ed Orgeron and have already been a head coach, so he knows what to do now in his second go at it. But that was 15 years ago. And when we're talking UT job, I mean, 2 years ago, if I had brought up, hey, you know, coordinators with no experience that, you know, really aren't rocking the world anyways, those are going to be the UT coaches, I think UT fans would have yelled at me and all kinds of stuff.
Well, and it's going to boil down to exactly what we said all along, which is what do the UT fans want out of this? You know, if Philip is saying to himself, I'm going to hire this guy and he's going to be the head coach here for the next 8 to 10 years, then you need to hire somebody that may not be the finished product, but is certainly well along the assembly line. You know, somebody that you're going to put the final touches on. He'll come in the first year and he'll win, you know, 6, 7, 8 games, and then we'll go on from there. If you're not interested in any of that and you say, fine, I'm going to bring in, this is a bad example, but a T. Martin, and we're going to teach him for 3 years and then he's going to leave. Well, that's another way you can do it. But those first 3 years, there'll be a lot of pain involved there now. I mean, all that will hurt. So, and finally, the third option is, no, I don't want it. We're going to win as many games as we can win this year for the next 5 years. Now you're talking about Les Miles and you're talking about Kevin Sumlin.
But you can't get Kevin Sumlin and you don't want Les Miles.
Well, I'm saying that's the caliber guy that you're looking for. Somebody that has done it, that has been there, that's out of a job. You know you can get him and you bring him in and say, okay, here's this team. Make this team as good as you can. Go win as many games you can. And hope he wins, like I said, 7 or 8 games.
Well, and face this too. I mean, one thing that Tennessee's next coach is going to have to be able to do is deal with negative press, because you're going to have a tough season next year. So is T. Martin ready to get up in front of the cameras after they lose to Vanderbilt and explain what happened? Or is he not going to be able to handle that heat? I don't know the answer. I guarantee you that Les Miles can get in front of the cameras when his team's not doing too hot.
Oh, he's been there.
He'll understand. Yeah. Kevin Steele, probably the same way. But, you know, we don't know about Mel Tucker in that regard. So we'll take your calls. I was going to get to your calls this segment, but I didn't. 615-737-1025. We will get to your calls as we are live once again at Eagle's Nest Tavern, of course, located at 2037 North Mount Juliet Road in Mount Juliet. We are broadcasting live until 6, but you can come by until 8 o'clock to register to win a pair of Lower Bowl Premium Center Ice tickets for the Preds and conference-leading Winnipeg December 19th. Register by 8 o'clock tonight. You must be present to win, so come on out. If you live in Mount Juliet, come here tonight. Eagle's Nest Tavern, come here tonight for dinner and register to win those Center Ice Preds tickets. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Eagle's Nest Tavern tonight. That's where we're hanging out, giving away a pair of tickets to the Preds and Winnipeg on December 19th. Lower Bowl Premium Center Ice. Come on out. If you live in Mount Juliet, dinner tonight at Eagle's Nest Tavern. Come on out. 2037 North Mount Juliet Road here in Mount Juliet. Apparently, Cole Kublik of the SEC Network has tweeted out that he's hearing Kevin Steele to Tennessee has some real legs, apparently. So he's hearing that Kevin Steele could be coming down the pipe. You know, when those Tennessee fans protested Greg Schiano, do you think that they thought they were going to get a guy whose career record was 9-36?
They were wishing they had a guy whose record was 500.
Let's go to your phones. I promised I would do this. Jerry is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, I just was thinking, I may be out to lunch on this, but has the guy from Memphis moved, or is he a possibility?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry, and thank you for the call. Mike Norvell, the head coach at Memphis, just tweeted out he signed a contract extension. So Mike Norvell, add him to the list of people that have gotten contract extensions, because UT is, well, where UT is.
That's a long, distinguished list now. It's got to be 5, 6, 7 guys.
Mike Norvell, so excited about the future of Memphis Tiger football and to announce that I have signed an extension to continue to lead this great program. Thank you to @UofMemphisPrez Tom Bowen and Board of Trustees for allowing me the opportunity. Hashtag stripe them up. Hashtag TigerFam. Hashtag climb. Hashtag grateful. So there you go. And apparently, whoever he signed the agreement with is all, I guess, running late to the symphony because he's in his full tux. As Norvell's just kind of there in a shirt. I'm guessing that's the president of the school.
I'm guessing.
But he's in a full tux. Yeah. I mean, like an old tux, like a 1937. Hello, Willinger. You know, that kind of tux. Let's go to Andrew, who's up next on Philip Fulmer. Thank you for calling. What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, guys, I just want to make a couple comments, if you don't mind. Thanks for taking my call. The coach that they plan on getting or they're looking at, he can't be an alpha male. He's going to have to, you know, do what Philip Fulmer tells him to do. And I think whoever's interviewing, I think they know that. They're not going to get a top-rate coach, although they're all gone by now. But and I just want to make one more comment about Les Miles. He's just like Butch Jones. He can recruit top five, top ten recruiter, but he can't finish in the top ten. Les Miles had one good year in 2011 where he lived up to his recruiting. He backed into the SEC to the championship in 2007. I'm a longtime LSU fan. I graduated from LSU, so I know all about Les Miles. You don't want Les Miles.
Well, so and Andrew, I told you this 2 weeks ago. Thank you for the call. 2 weeks ago, I would have said, no, Les Miles to UT, not good enough. But we are where we are right now. I mean, you want to talk about Les Miles underachieving. The guy who apparently seems to be the favorite for the job, Kevin Steele, the Auburn defensive coordinator, hasn't coached in 15 years as a head coach, and his record is 9-36. Now, look, there's a lot of circumstances. Baylor is a very hard job to win at. The circumstances, people did not want to give Mike Mularkey the benefit of the doubt with his circumstances in Buffalo and Jacksonville, and I think Mike has proven as coach of the Titans that those circumstances were just. But 9-36 is 9-36.
Tough. Yeah, it's tough now. That's hard. You're talking about winning a game and a half a year.
And
or
you were okay. You were a GM back in those days. What did you think of Baylor football when Kevin Steele?
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. But it was really awful until just recently when they got in all the trouble. For a long time, it was just bad. You know, Waco's kind of a white spot in the road anyway. Now the campus is beautiful, and Baylor's a beautiful school and great people and great facilities and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you don't just bump into Waco. You got to want to go there.
Josh is up next on Tennessee. Thank you for calling. We're live once again out in Mount Juliet at Eagle's Nest Tavern. What's up, Josh?
Not much, gentlemen. Just had one comment and then one question. And my comment is I think that the chancellor, most likely, depending on who Fulmer hires and depending on what their record's going to be, people often forget an old adage that I learned, which is you can always delegate authority but not responsibility. And whoever ends up getting hired, these Twitter folks are going to be watching them because they've already managed to get an athletic director and a coach fired. And the question I had is, and it's a really good question, is I wonder how people would have felt if Philip Fulmer would have been the AD and he would have been the one to roll Greg Schiano out. I wonder if everyone would have lost their minds then and started painting rocks. You guys take care.
Thank you, Josh.
Now, that's a great question.
If Fulmer had hired Schiano.
Or if he'd have rolled him out, just recommended him.
Well, and that's what I said when Kirk Herbstreit said that Peyton was all fired up about him. I'm thinking, well, where was Peyton when Twitter got mad? You know, where was Peyton to say, guys, I love Schiano, he's going to be a great coach, you know. Where was Peyton then? This is my thing. If you knew that we were going to be here, when UT fans ran off Schiano 2 weeks ago, which feels like 3 months ago, if UT fans knew that the best you could do if you ran Schiano off was Mel Tucker or Kevin Steele, you would have then not gotten so vocal.
Bite your tongue.
Right. You would have said, okay, you know, it's fine. But now because you guys got so mad about it and threw the fit about Schiano, now you're sitting there saying, no, we were right to do that, Jared, and I'm fine with Kevin Steele over Schiano. But are you really? Like, somebody tweeted me today, and I guess got really mad, and that happens. But somebody tweeted me and said, I wish you'd stop talking about Schiano. No one wants him to be their head coach. What do you not get about that? And then the hashtag VFL. And I said, so you'd rather have Kevin Steele instead? Again, Kevin Steele, 9-36 as a coach. And he said, 100 times over.
Oh.
You want, okay, really?
Cool.
When this all started, would you have done, like if they had come out, if John Curry had a press conference that day and announced Schiano as coach and said, guys, we absolutely cannot do any better. I know you guys on Twitter think we can do better, but we really can't. And if you screw this up now, we most certainly will not do better. The fans would not have listened. But if they could look into the future and see what's happened since, then I think they'd say, all right, well, I guess we're going to see how this works out.
Well, yeah, and I mean, what they should have done, like I said before, is they should have had Peyton there, they should have had Phillip there, we should have, you know, said, listen, we understand the issues. We have spent a lot of time working on this. We have vetted this guy to the nth degree. There is absolutely not an issue there, and have everybody nodding their head, yes, he's right, we did all that, then I think everybody would have been okay. You know, they said, hey, Peyton and Phillip like him, then he's got to be okay.
Let's go to Adam, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Adam?
All right, so, Jared, you made three predictions that I can remember vividly from back in July or August. And I actually, because you predict so many things all the time, it's hard to keep up with it, but I remember these three specifically. You said the Vols were going to stink and they were going to fire Butch. You said that you refused to get on Vandy's bandwagon, which actually turned out to be the right move. And then you said that you were scared to death that Ben Savage was going to suck and they were going to put Deshaun Watson in and he was going to be a superhero. So I will give you a little props on that because all that came true. And, you know, moving forward, as a Titans fan especially, I'm scared of Watson because I think that dude would have been the MVP this year.
Thank you for your call. I look at my predictions kind of like baseball. You know, if you're good 3 out of every 10, you're a superstar. But, I mean, my preseason thought was that Tennessee was going to be bad. No, I didn't think they were going to be this bad. But that Tennessee was going to be bad. I thought they'd win 6 or 7 games, fire Butch, and then I figured they'd hire T. Martin. The only reason I thought they'd hire T. Martin is because I thought USC was going to be one of the best teams in the country with Sam Darnold throwing it up and down the field, and the fans would be like, we need him, he's one of us, and so they'd go out and hire him because I didn't think anybody else would really want the job. I did not think it would go down like this. And now it seems like T. Martin's not going to get the job. But I didn't think it'd go down like this, where they were so bad and so few people wanted the job, and they had a decent candidate, and they ran him off, and then they ran off the athletic director, and they brought in Philip Fulmer, and I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well,
I don't know how you could predict what's gone on in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, nobody could have ever guessed this would happen. I mean, the people at Tennessee would have never guessed this would have happened. So, I mean, it's been ugly.
I think what Tennessee fans thought when they ran Schiano off, and I really believe this, when Tennessee fans ran Schiano off, I think they thought that was their method. Hey, athletic department, go get us a good coach. And that was like, hey, go get us Willie Taggart. Like Florida State just got Willie Taggart. Go get us Willie Taggart. That's what we're telling you. But what they didn't seem to understand is that when you do that, Willie Taggart doesn't want your job anymore. When they feel like you're going to get fired off of Twitter, they don't want you anymore. And UT fans, I think some are understanding that this is where they are, but they don't blame themselves. And maybe they shouldn't, because maybe the administration, if you're going to pick a guy to hire him, you need to stand by it and you need to hire that person. But I still don't think they understand the whole scope of what happened last week and how it's put you where you are right now this week. 615-737-1025. I had a prediction before the season, which is actually starting to come true. But since I so abandoned that prediction, I don't think I can take credit for it. In fact, I think I may owe somebody an apology. But I'm not sure if I owe him an apology. So we will get to that next. Jared and the GM, we are hanging out once again at Eagle's Nest Tavern, located 2037 North Mount Juliet Road in Mount Juliet. And if you come here for dinner tonight in Mount Juliet, you can register to win a pair of Lower Bowl Premium Center Ice Preds tickets for the Preds and first place Winnipeg on December 19th. Lower Bowl Premium Center Ice. That's right. You can register to win those. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5, the game.
From center ice, spinning around. It's slipped into the Boston zone. Comes out to the blue line, held in. Craig Smith. Tourist now, and the shot, and the rebound of the bar. Going to the net, Craig Smith, and the Predators are on the board. Just a minute 26 into the game. Here's Torrey Krug from the left point. A shot deflected to the left side of Rene Irwin. Puts the puck up in the air, right to the Bruin line. Fed now for Smith, breaking in. He scores! Craig Smith has the Predators up 2-0 on that long clear from deep in the Nashville zone.
How about that? The first period yesterday, Craig Smith scores at the start of the game. Craig Smith scores at the end of the period. Preds up 2-0. Preds win last night. Floyd Reese, before the season, I had two takes. But I kind of abandoned one of them. The first take I had about the Preds was I thought Craig Smith, who had scored 20 goals every season and then last year had 12, I thought Craig Smith was going to kind of return a little bit. And the other was I thought the kids, Fiala and Aberg and all those guys, were going to step up. And I never abandoned that take, but I did abandon the Craig Smith take. In fact, I was kind of done with Craig Smith. In fact, I would say I was very done with Craig Smith.
There you go. That's closer to the real thing.
Craig Smith. Craig Smith has scored 10 goals this season. He had 12 last season. Preds PR tweeted this out last night. Since acquiring Kyle Turris in a three-team trade on November 5th, his line, along with Kevin Fiala and Craig Smith, has produced a combined total of 32 points, 13 goals, and 19 assists in 12 games. So they're scoring that line over a goal a game, and the Preds are 9-2-1. And as great as Fiala has played, and he's been incredible, Smith has been that guy. So here's the question. Do I owe Craig Smith an apology?
Without a doubt.
Why?
Well, you were ready to dump him. You wouldn't even talk about him at points in time.
I was telling remember when I said at the expansion draft, try to give them Smith and Wilson so you can keep James Neal?
Yeah. I mean, you were absolutely done with him. And then now you look at that line and you go, oh, everybody's really playing good, but who's playing the best?
Well, Turris, but yes.
How many points does Turris have?
I don't care. Turris. I don't care.
Okay.
If the Green Bay Packers.
I'm not taking anything away from Turris.
If Aaron Rodgers comes back healthy and the Green Bay Packers go to the NFC title game, I don't care how many yards he's thrown for. Turris is the key to this whole group.
And I'm not taking anything away from him. And I think you're right. I think he helps everybody across the board. But right now, for my money, Craig Smith is playing outstanding.
I agree. But I said it earlier today, I think the Preds, if they play the way they're playing right now in the playoffs, that they will win the Stanley Cup. They're playing at a better level right now than maybe they played at any point last season outside of the Chicago series. Because the St. Louis series, they were good. The Anaheim series, they were gutsy. The Pittsburgh series, they kind of ran out of gas. But the Chicago series was their best hockey the entire season. They are playing what they have played since Kyle Turris came to the team, 9-2-1. Since Kyle Turris has joined the team, that group right there, they're playing better than they ever played last season. And the whole point I'm trying to make right now is I'm worried that they're going to fall off and when they get to the playoffs, not play as well. Now, that doesn't mean they can't win a playoff series or two or maybe even three. But the way they're playing right now is cup winning good. And Smith's one of the guys I worry about falling off. Like, not saying that he will fall off, but, like, Craig Smith last season was so below what he is, and right now this stretch this season has been so above what he is. Eventually, either he's going to go back to what he is, or Kyle Turris is the secret code that unlocks Craig Smith and Kevin Fiala. And I'm hoping it's that, more so than Smith will come back down to earth at some point.
Well, I mean, the thing I have to ask, and I don't know the answer to this, is because if it's this time of year, this early in the season, what are the other teams playing like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is just kind of going through the motions till get to January, February, whenever it is. I don't know.
I liken the Predators last year to kind of like those New York Giant teams, where they'd really turn on the pass rush at the end of the season and Eli would get on fire and they'd go on the road and win all those playoff games and then they'd end up winning the Super Bowl. And I kind of felt like that's what the Preds were last year. This Preds team reminds me of like a Patriots team that goes 13-3 and walks into the playoffs as the number one seed in the AFC. And sometimes those guys go right to the Super Bowl and sometimes they win and sometimes they don't. And that's kind of how I feel like the Preds are right now. But I can't tell you the answer. No, Winnipeg is really, really good. They're the best team in the conference. I don't think Winnipeg is made in 2017-18 to be the team that goes all the way. I do believe Chicago, who has struggled on some level, could catch fire in April and May and go all the way. But I'm with you. I know what you mean. Like, I'm with you in some regard.
And I wonder that basically about a team like Chicago. You know, you were just talking about, because Chicago has not been playing well. You know, Chicago's pretty good. And so then you're saying, Are they biding their time? Are they, you know, kind of just marching in, you know, in space? Mm-hmm. Just what? Take your time. We'll be all right. Plenty of time. And then turn it on late in the year?
It's like St. Louis is playing great. They came out of the gates great. And I'm not worried one iota at all with St. Louis. Like, I don't care. You know, St. Louis does not worry me. I don't. One way or the other, if they play St. Louis in a playoff series, not worried at all. Once again, so do I owe Craig Smith an apology?
Yes.
I'm going to go with no.
Oh,
jeez. I'm going to go with we need to let the cake bake a little bit.
I think Craig needs to hear this.
Craig? I think we're going to let the cake bake a little bit.
I think you owe him one.
How about New Year's? We reevaluate on New Year's. Fair?
No, we're talking about right now.
He's playing great right now.
Okay.
But I think we should reevaluate on New Year's, and then I will have either an apology or not an apology. Speaking of the Preds, come on out tonight. They play Dallas tonight on the road right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Come on out. We are at Eagles Nest Tavern right here, 2037 North Mount Juliet Road in Mount Juliet. So if you live in Mount Juliet, or if you live close to Mount Juliet, or even if you don't live in Mount Juliet but you want to see the Preds take on the Winnipeg Jets, who, by the way, are the best team in the Western Conference, on December 19th. Come out to dinner here tonight because you can watch the game and you can register to win a pair of a lower bowl premium center ice tickets. Like, that's the Floyd Reese section. You know, that's where the VIPs sit.
Oh, there you go.
Lower bowl premium center ice tickets to see the Preds and Jets on December 19th. Register by 8 o'clock tonight. You must be present to win out here at Eagles Nest Tavern, 2037 North Mount Juliet Road in Mount Juliet. Come on out once again. If you live in Mount Juliet, this is where you need to be so that you can win those tickets, so that you can go to that game. And by the way, I've sat in the lower bowl premium center ice tickets. They're the best seats, I think, maybe in the arena, because even though people love, like, the glass seats, and I'm not here to knock glass seats if you have them, but when you have the glass seats, like, you can see everything that's right in front of you perfectly, and it's incredible when they hit each other into the boards. But when you're in that premium center ice, you can really see both sides and really see all the plays and all the action. And one time they played Dallas when I was sitting lower bowl premium center ice, and Kari Lehtinen took a Shea Weber slap shot right to the man part.
No part?
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
It literally, he went down like he had been shot.
Oh.
Like, he went to the ground, and I was like, oh, no.
He may be dead.
And they'd already, that's what it looked like. Yeah. And they had already pulled the starting goalie to put him in there, so he had to stay in. I mean, it was like, son, we're going to go to TV timeout for you.
Yes.
But when we come back, you need to play goal.
Better hustle.
You know, that's I felt terrible for him. We'll get to more of your calls, 615-737-1025. If we got some new news on the UT coaching search, we'll get to that. But I do want to get to the Titans, and I do want to get to a couple of points on the Titans and some really big stuff that I'm not sure what I make of. We'll do that next. Plus, Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:30. We'll get his latest thoughts on the new UT candidates, plus whether or not Trevor is in on the UT, whatever it may be. We'll get to all that coming up in the next hour. Once again, live at Eagles Nest Tavern, 2037 North Mount Juliet Road in Mount Juliet. It's Jaron the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.